Well, good morning, everyone. A special welcome to our visitors here this morning at the Church of the Madeleine. Last year in December, Nelson Mandela, the former president of South Africa, died at the age of 95. And as I prayed and thought about these readings for this Sunday, he came to my mind. I think for several reasons. First of all, he was born in 1918, the same year that my own father was born. And I've also always been kind of interested in South Africa because many of the Europeans who colonized South Africa in the 1650s were Dutch. And my own Dutch ancestors came to America about the same time. So things could have been very different for me if my ancestors had boarded a ship bound for Africa instead of America. I could have been born in South Africa. As an American, I realize that our country has had its own problems with racial equality and with freedom. And I think that what has happened in South Africa is pretty amazing. Nelson Mandela was the first person in his family to receive a college education, and he rose from being a militant anti-apartheid activist to become the unifying president of a democratic South Africa and a global symbol of racial reconciliation. President Bill Clinton once asked Mandela about the people who kept him in prison for 27 years. "Tell me the truth," he said. "When you were walking out of that prison to freedom, didn't you hate them again?" Mandela said, "Of course I did, but I got over it in 3 seconds." He knew if he still hated them, he would still be a prisoner. And he said, "I wanted to be free, so I let it go." The Truth and Reconciliation Commission he helped establish hastened an end to racial conflict in South Africa by granting amnesty in return for testimony. And it became a model for ending similar conflicts in other places. Now, I really don't know too much about Nelson Mandela's religious beliefs, except that he was a baptized Methodist Christian, and he was buried in a Christian funeral service. But looking at his life, I can't help but believe that some of what we hear in these readings today must have touched him somehow along the way. In the first reading from the book of Leviticus, God says, "You shall not bear hatred for your brother or your sister in your heart." If we carry around malice and hatred in our hearts for other human beings, no matter what the reason, does it hurt them or does it damage us? God says, "Do not incur sin because of this. Take no revenge. Cherish no grudge against any of your people." Cherish a grudge. Does that sound familiar? Have we ever cherished a grudge? I think that we all know that it is in our human nature to do this, to be this way, to carry a grudge sometimes. God speaks to the Israelites through Moses today, and he tells them that this is how they are to relate to each other. They are to be holy as he is holy. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And I think we all know that that's something that's not easy to live out. But with God's grace, we can try. Today, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount continues in the gospel. We've been hearing it in the past few weeks. Today, we hear some things that from our human perspective, from our human way of thinking, are very, very hard teachings, not so easy to live out. Today, Jesus continues to call us above and beyond the teachings of the Old Testament. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, that sounds like a command to take vengeance, but that's not really what it is. Really, it was a call to self-restraint. You could only hurt your opponent to the same degree that they hurt you, and no more. In our own time, it's not unusual to see people take vengeance far beyond the hurt that was done to them. And when it comes to violence, we human beings can easily get carried away. Jesus offers us a different approach. I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Turn the other cheek and love your enemy. From our way of thinking, this seems an impractical and weak response. How could any self-respecting person follow such advice? Aren't we taught to be our own person and to stand up for ourselves? Yet, if we think about it, is this really a weak response? Who is the really strong person, the one who lashes out in anger, or the one who remains fully in control of himself and refuses to be brought down to the same level as his adversary? Jesus goes on to say, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Does he really expect genuine, red-blooded human beings to react this way to hostility and violence? How can we possibly love people who do us harm or who we believe to be evil? When we hear the word love, what does it mean to us? Well, generally speaking, to say we love a person means that we have warm feelings of affection for them, or even we are in love with them. Jesus is not asking us to have these same feelings for those that we love, for someone who is a terrible human being and who has maybe done things that we don't even want to think about. I don't think that's what he's saying. To love in the gospel, in the context of the gospel, means something different. It is more a participation in the life and love of God and caring for another human being. After all, God is love, and we are made in his image. It does not ask us to be in love with them or to have warm feelings of affection for someone who is trying to do us harm or serious harm to others. We can sincerely wish the good for those who harm or persecute us with God's help. We can pray that they may change, not just for our own sake, but also for theirs. They really do need our prayers. This is not something that we can do on our own. We can only do this through God's grace. To love in the gospel context is certainly better than carrying around resentment and anger in our hearts towards others. If we think that we can punish people by carrying a grudge, we are mistaken, because it is ourselves, not they, who are the real victims. As Jesus says, it is easy to care for people who care for us, who love us. Anyone can do that. But Jesus calls us to something more. He wants us to be like our Heavenly Father, who is perfect. Is that possible for us? Can we be perfect? Well, I don't really know. I hope so. I don't think that Jesus is asking us to do something that is impossible, but rather he wants us to be holy. He wants each of us to be that person that he created us to be. St. Paul says today, "You are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in you, and God's temple is holy." So we are being called on to recognize and to respond to God's presence in every single person that we meet, no matter who they are and no matter how they behave. In this coming week, as we go about our daily lives, let each of us ask God to give us the grace we need to extend this gospel love to everyone that we encounter, especially the ones who need it the most.